Well, I'm filled with joy to be behind the pulpit and having the opportunity to study and study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. So it's a blessing to be here tonight and to put forth truth. So I want to thank Pastor for the opportunity and calling me and challenging me to be behind here. I want to thank Pastor Ryan also for helping me throughout this with the sermon preparation. I'm so very thankful for you. So today we're going to be in Luke chapter 16. So let's turn our Bibles there. Okay. Thank you. So I'll read the first verse before we begin in prayer. So, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you for your presence in the local church, Lord, and we praise you for bringing us here together, Lord, as a congregation. I pray that you fill my heart with the Holy Spirit as well as the rest of the congregation so we can be edified by what you have taught me, and I pray that I could just teach the congregation and do it thoroughly and clearly, Lord, and we praise you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. So a statement just to begin us, just to set the basis, is you will lose earthly possessions, but you'll never lose your salvation. So we need to invest in spiritual things that can't be lost. So just a testimony of the situation I'm going through at the moment. So recently I've been feeling the pressure financially. I'm in between jobs, and this increased my desire to work to make money. Through this process, I found myself desiring mammon or the perfect job more than Christ himself. I found myself to be in dire want of financial security and ready to make a decision without consulting him. The question I asked myself is, why is my stewardship important and what am I actually trusting in? Can I only trust in God when I have a full bank account and a secure job? So the themes today, we have eight of them. The first theme is in relation to 1 Timothy 6:10, which is the love of money is the root of all evil. So I asked myself, why is this? So money is the means to fulfill the desires of our wicked heart. It gives us the ability to have comfort, to control. It boasts us up in glory and respect, and it allows us to fulfill our pleasures. But if we look at Jeremiah 2:13, Scripture says, hold up, 2:13, I'm in 3:13, sorry, 2:13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me the fountain of living waters and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. So we believe sometimes that money is going to bring us satisfaction. The more we have of it, the more we accumulate of it, the happier that will be. But as we know, Jesus Christ is the only fulfillment. And as we see, this broken cistern, that's what money will do. Eventually, as we pursue it, it just keeps going down. The water keeps leaking out of the cistern. So we either look to money to get those things or to get those things through faith in Christ and his word. So how do we respond when we don't have money? And that ultimately reveals where our heart is and where our hope lies. It demonstrates where our faith actually is. So our second theme is idolatry. So who or what will you serve your life with? And the question I ask myself is, can I still be happy if I don't have money or if I don't have a job? So our third theme today is, let me slow it down. Money is never owned, it is only stewarded. So let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18. So Scripture says, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. So we're not the owners. As we know in Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. He is in complete ownership of everything that we have. So we need to acknowledge his sovereignty. And that's specifically with our finances here. So point number four, our current stewardship has eternal rewards, which is in relation to Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Our theme number five here, stewardship responsibilities. So God made man to work. For an example, Paul was a tent maker. The apostles, some of them were fishers. So they worked, as men are to work. Theme number six, God wants us to be just stewards of our time. So how do we spend our time? When we're outside a local church, what are we doing with our time? Me, sometimes I find myself scrolling through social media. I could be doing a devotion, or sometimes I find myself playing video games, and then I'm neglecting the other responsibilities that God has set forth in front of me. Theme number seven, contentment. Trusting that God knows best and knowing you have what you need. So God gives every person different talents to steward. Instead of being bitter of what you don't have, be content with what God has given you. Are we envious of what others have? Theme number eight, confessional theology versus functional theology. So confessional is, for an example, yesterday I had someone hack into my debit card and they took some money out of it. They did a purchase. I caught it through my email. And at first, my confessional is, Lord, I trust you with my finances. But as soon as that gets taken away, that's the functional theology of, I'm actually living in fear and I'm not actually trusting the Lord. I'm living in self-reliance when that one thing gets taken away from me. So do we practice what we preach or what the Bible tells us to do? All righty. So disclaimer, I'm not saying man should not work and neglect finances. I'm not saying that. We should take this very seriously, and we should work, and we should be stewards of our finances. So context. So we're in the book of Luke. So if we're not there, let's turn to Luke 16, verse 1. And in Luke, he is a Gentile, and this is a letter to Theophilus. So Luke writes of the life of Christ in chronology. Throughout Luke, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and is preparing the way for the kingdom of God. And in context to Luke 16, we can look at verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples. So here he's speaking to his disciples. And then in verse 14, we have the reaction of the Pharisees, which is, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. So the Pharisees always followed and listened, and they always had a reaction. Because we always have a reaction to Scripture. We apply it to our life and receive it, or we reject it. So we get to see the believers versus the Pharisees. Alrighty, our point of application today, we have earthly treasures versus eternal treasures, essentially the temporal versus the eternal treasures that God has promised us. Our second point of application is we either serve God or we serve mammon, one or the other. What we desire will bear fruit. Sin comes to light. No sin goes without perfect judgment. So throughout chapter 16, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, points the believer to understand the use for a mammon is for God and not for himself. Tonight we'll try to strengthen the local church through God's word on stewardship. So let's begin with verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. So we have two individuals in this parable. We have the rich man and we have the steward. I want to note that both of them are not saved, and they're both very business-minded. Their pursuit is money, so we just got to get that down straightforward. The rich man hired the servant to work and manage his assets for him. The steward was then accused of wasting the rich man's goods. So for an example, the owner of a company says, I manage a business for him. I am responsible for maintaining it and helping it gross profit. However, it has been rumored that I haven't been showing up, I haven't been doing my job. Essentially, I'm, in this case, wasting the goods of my boss. So that's the situation here. Verse 2, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. So the boss calls the steward in to fire him. And the boss asks him to give an account of thy stewardship. We should turn to Matthew 12:36 right now, so I can explain that. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So contextually, here in Matthew 12, the Pharisees were blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And so we'll see in verse 34, O generations of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And if we look at Mark 7:21, you don't have to turn, it's the heart from within that defiles a man. And likewise, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we are responsible for our stewardship, how we invest. It exposes our heart. We will be judged for how we use what the Lord has given us. We have to ask ourselves, did we waste his goods? Verse 3 in Luke 16. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. So I am resolved what to do. Essentially, the steward is saying, I know what to do. The light bulb just went off in his brain. So when I'm put out of the stewardship is when I'm fired. So he's creating a plan to essentially save himself for when he is afterwards fired. So this is a turning point. For example, this is the situation I'm in, and this is how I'm going to get out. So it demonstrates our wicked and deceitful heart in the moments of distress or trials and tribulation. How quick are we to turn away from the Lord and turn into self-reliance? Verse 5 through 7 reads, So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. So in these verses, we can identify the steward's plan. What he's going to do is collect his master's Lord's debtors. So these group of people owe his boss some money, and he's going to go collect that money. So this demonstrates the witty skills that the steward had in business. He utilizes resources and connections through his Lord or boss. However, in this situation, the unjust steward is sinfully acquiring the money. We can identify that the steward is serving mammon here. And as we know, we can only serve God, or you either serve mammon. We also see in verse 6 the adverb used, which is quickly, which shows the urgency that the steward had in order to get this money to save himself. So do we urgently make spiritual investments for the Lord? And throughout verse 5 and 7, we see, and he said, 100 measures of oil, and he said unto him, Take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So he was only asking for half of the amount that they originally owed. So the reason behind this is essentially the unjust steward did this because it was common in the Jewish culture to reciprocate acts of kindness. Since he did the debtors a favor, they would likely give him one back. Perhaps they may receive the unjust steward into their houses, which was verse 4. Verse 8 reads, And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. So why was he commended? So it is important to remember, once again, that these are both unsaved individuals. They're not coming from a place of Christ's righteousness. They're coming from a place of self-gain and self-righteousness. So the steward was commended for his cunning scheme in this situation. The steward acted shrewdly, or in other words, wisely or intelligent, to cover himself. So once again, he did this sinfully. So the Lord Jesus Christ is not commending him for doing anything right. He was wrong in the situation. This was sin. But the steward was sinning right here. Right here we also have, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. So we have a contrast between the children of the world, which are unbelievers, and the children of light, which are believers. So the children of this world are wiser with their finances or money. In comparison, believers should be very wise with eternal treasures and riches. For an example, unbelievers, you know, we have examples of people working 3 jobs. They're giving up everything to provide as much income as they can for self-gain. What if we put that same effort and energy into our ministries for at a local church? Verse 9 reads, "And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteous, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." So Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he is telling his believers, or his disciples, to invest their mammon for eternal purposes. For when we die, or as Scripture says, when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. We may be welcomed by those we invested in. So a good example of that is tithing in our local church. Tithing in a local church, it matters. It matters a ton, and it's very important. We support the local church. We support pastor, who then is able to be in the Word of God, which is able to study and preach to us, which allows us to be fed with the Word of God. In return, we can be the salt of the world, and then we're able to plant and water, you know, as we go to work and we go to school for, you know, people that are in college. And we're able to plant and water, and the Lord is able to give the increase. So if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, you can read that. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. So it's the Lord that gets the increase and gives the increase. And as we plant and water, we're able to put forth the gospel, and as Brother Don White preached on, making sure we have the correct gospel and not the perverted gospel. So I was able to give that out to people, and they may receive the Lord as, or receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They get to experience the fellowship that we are able to, and that's a desire that we should have in our hearts. So, verse number 10 in Luke, chapter 16. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So if one is faithful in the little that he has, he will be faithful in much more. On the other side, if one is unjust in the little that he has, he is unjust in much more. So everybody has a number they want to reach. I mean, for me personally, sometimes I ask myself, I'm getting married in September, what number do I want to hit in my bank account before I feel confident enough to move forward? That's not the right perspective to have. That's not living by faith. So 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Let's read that. That's focusing on looking at the looking at eternal things versus temporal things. Here I'm just trying to develop our mindset to look at heaven, look at the eternal treasures that are to come, and not focus so much on what we have in front of us. We are justified by faith. We are to live by faith. So it's much more than what's just around us. There. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Verse 11 in Luke chapter 16.
verse 11.
If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So the true riches here is eternity in heaven through salvation. So Jesus is asking, if we can't steward what he has given us now, how can we be trusted with the true riches to come? Salvation is mandatory to enter into heaven. Repentance and faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, will save mankind. Then we have the opportunity to understand what these true riches are. So on our deathbed, is our giant stack of money or our big fat bank account going to go with us to heaven? It's not. Are we going to be able to say what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7? Have I fought a good fight? I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. What he says here, I've kept the faith. That's fighting the good fight is, like you said, you're justified by faith. You live by faith. And then you die by faith. Verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? So, I don't know if everybody's turned to Luke 16 because I back up. So another man's. We see this here. So the possession of this world are never owned by us. They are passed down and down by generation to generation, which we see in Ecclesiastes 2:18. Yea, I've hated all my labor, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. So that which is your own in this verse is our salvation, which is never passing through. So the question I ask is, what are you doing with that which you never lose, that nobody could take away? Are you invested in spiritual things with the gospel that can bring that you could bring with you to heaven? Verse 13. No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So there's no gray area for idolatry. It is sin. As we see in Mark 1:16 through 18, Simon Peter and Andrew left their family business to follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We have an example in Matthew 19, verses 20 through 24, of someone that was not willing to do that. So let's go take a look in Matthew 19, verse 20. The young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So there's two ways to go. We either follow Christ or we don't. And we're not, well, as believers, we are, but unbelievers, they're in the hands of Satan. So that's why it is so important to give forth the gospel, to give him that blessed assurance and that peace, and to have that fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14 of Luke 16. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. So the Lord Jesus Christ directed this parable to his disciples, as we see in verse 1. However, the Pharisees always followed around listening to the wise words of Christ. From Matthew 6:21, we know that for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We have a clear image of what the Pharisees' heart desired, which was mammon. A great example of the Pharisees' greed when it came to money is in Mark 7, verse 10 through 11. So let's go there. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. So the word used here in verse 11 is Corban, which means gift or offering to God. Once a person called Corban, their resources were set apart and no longer accessible for use. Verse 10 reads, honor thy father and thy mother. But when their mother and father needed financial help, they opted out to keep their wealth. So where we invest our finances, our heart is there too. So our application. So we have earthly treasures versus eternal treasures, and we either serve God or we serve mammon, one or the other. So 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So having money and pursuing a career is not sin. I'm in college, and we all need to make money in order to support ourselves. So it's not, making money is not bad, and having money is not bad. It's the love of it. It's the pursuit of it. And that's once again because money is the means to fulfill the desires of our heart, which gives us the ability to have comfort, control, glory and respect, love and pleasure. And as Pastor Ryan preached in Matthew last Sunday with Peter and stepping out in faith, that's what we're tested to do. And when we don't have these things, for example, in the situation that I'm in, I'm either going to respond in one way or in the other. I'm either going to respond in faith or in fear and try to live in self-reliance. So when our heart is focused on money and that's our pursuit, we no longer have our eye on Jesus. We no longer have our eye on eternity. When we turn in faith to Jesus Christ, we begin to understand that following him means to lay our treasures in the kingdom he promises us. So Matthew 13, verse 44, Scripture says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. So I ask the question, are we all in? Are we investing in the kingdom of heaven? So in conclusion, the account after Luke 16, verses 1 through 14, is the account of the rich man and Lazarus. So let's turn back to Luke 16. So the rich man had the fine linen and fared sumptuously on earth. However, as we see in Scripture, he is in hell, tormented. All he desired is to dip the tip of his finger in water. He couldn't take the riches with him to hell. Likewise, we can't take our bank account or we can't take our earthly possessions with us to heaven. With our salvation, we have assurance in eternity with Christ. The price has been paid on the cross of Calvary. Invest in the treasures in heaven that will never be lost. So we'll finish in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this sermon, Lord, that you've put on my heart, Lord, and I pray that I just put forth truth tonight, Lord, and that you are honored and glorified. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.